Yes, definitely, Mr. Joseph.
Oh, that's great, that's great. I see people in a familiar boardroom there in Newlands, Cape Town.
That is the people from Saints.
All right, that's great. Good evening, yes. Gentlemen.
Yes, they are. They are ready for us. We are just waiting for the chairperson to join, and we will start as soon as she joins.
Am I speaking to Zuleika?
Yes, this is Zuleika.
Hi, Zuleika.
Hello, Zuleika.
Molweni, molweni.
Kunjani?
Siphilile nkosi njani?
Yeah,
Hi, Zuleika.
Yes, Mr. Joseph?
No, I'm listening to the other gentleman, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
This is Khalid speaking. This is our first virtual meeting with the portfolio committee. So I don't know how the procedure is, but you have my presentation. I assume the committee has that. But if you want me to share the screen, I can also do the presentation like that, whichever way you
need. All right. I think it's best if you share it yourself. And I have made a boardroom the co-host of the meeting so that you can share the presentation. That is the computer. Boardroom is the computer that you're using. Is that correct?
Your laptops.
Mr. Khalid?
I was on mute. Yes, boardroom is the computer.
All right. I have made boardroom the co-host. So you will be able to share your presentation. But if there are any challenges, I will do it from my side. But it's best if you do it on your side.
This will stop the other screen. See if you guys want to do that.
Yes, that is fine. But you will have to share when you are about to do the presentation, because the department, you are just testing. All right. Okay. No, that's fine. Thank you then. Yes, we can see you all nice and clear. Thank you very much.
What is the exact time?
The chairperson has just joined, Mr. Joseph.
Okay.
Evening, chairperson.
Evening, so.
Evening, chairperson.
No, I'm very sorry. I wanted that present must finish, and then when I was trying to get in, the network was not allowing me. But now I'm in. My apology with these few minutes. To the members and to our invitees, honorable members. Good evening. I'm taking this time of the night after so many meetings that we've been attending today to welcome you honorable members, and then welcome our invitees, the leadership of states who are with us. I do welcome you after we've been not meeting, seeing each other. I'm hoping that you are still all alive, as you know, this epidemic. It is so vicious. I'm suspecting that as something is looming of the third wave, which I've seen even the statement of the premier of Gauteng that he is saying seemingly they can face it, but not yet, but the indications. So which means we must keep what we've been doing, all the protocols, I'm adding this, that one of our staff who I'm suspecting she's very caring. I was not yet aware of what the disaster management of Western Cape said to the people of Western Cape about what happened, the storm. And we have lost about two human beings through this storm, and so many destructive things happened. Honorable members, as you are aware that we are preparing, we have asked them to prepare and ask permission that we must go to Robben Island. Jabu, this morning, I was not aware that he saw this terrible and horrible thing, was saying that she is cautioning me, and I was saying, I cannot reverse a decision of the committee, but let's monitor, even if we can get the permission. We cannot afford to lose other lives, because this epidemic has done a lot to us. So I'm cautioning members that we must all of us monitor. Today also it was a sad day of the remembrance of our own former rugby player who passed on. We've seen a very emotional memorial event in KZN, and I'm suspecting again as this committee, who also part of the sport, saying that condolences to a family of Ulindani Myeni. We don't want to remember that most of us were coming from the apartheid government. So it was not nice even to our good selves when we were watching that. Let's be careful. Honorable members, I'm putting the agenda in front of you. Can anyone adopt the agenda?
Chair?
Okay. There's some voters calling me.
Honorable Zondi, I move for the adoption. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Honorable Zondi.
Mamabulo Segondi.
Thank you, Honorable Mamabulo. Umzwe Insizwa today. Okay, thank you so much, Honorable members. Any apologies?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have an apology from the Minister and the Deputy Minister. They are both attending to long-standing commitments, and Ms. Adams as well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other apology? Thank you, Zoom. None. Let me take this opportunity to give to the leader of faith that she or he must introduce the delegation that are with us. Thank you, honorable members, our staff, which is here today. I'm seeing even our communication person. He is with us. It was so strange when he told me yesterday that he is serving in seven committees. So I was wondering where he is. And during our oversight, he was not there. But I'm suspecting I'll try to talk to his management. It was not good when we were taking oversight of that nation that we didn't have your communication person. Let me give it to the leader of states to introduce. And at least in Cape Town, there is a storm. Anyone who's going to be introduced must show face. And then if you do experience problem of network, you can switch off your video. I thank you.
Judge, you on mute.
Honorable Judge.
Judge, your Honor, mute. Very good. And now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we do.
Good evening, Madam Chair. My name is Lex Mphathi. I am the chairman of the SAIDS board. Thank you so much for inviting us. Thank you to you and your committee for inviting us to present our annual with me, and I hope everybody is connected, is the deputy chair, Mr. Graham Abrams, the CEO, Mr. Khalid Khalant, the CFO, Mr. Onke Ngwane, the General Manager, Mr. Fahmi Khalant, and then the Education Manager, Dr. Amanda Klaassen-Smithers. Madam Chair, I will ask the annual performance plan, but I must just say that the effect of the lockdown restrictions on sport.
Before that, listen, that honorable our judge. Before that, thank you for yes. Introduction of your colleagues. Let me first give it to the department. Our DG with the staff of the department are with us. Let's start with them, and then immediately after that, I wanted to check, and then after the teaching, you follow.
Thank you.
Do you have any apology, sir?
Not from my, well, yes, there's one person who was supposed to be here, Ms. Berg, Wafika Berg. I understand she has a commitment. It suddenly came up, and so she couldn't make it. That's the only one.
I am present, Judge, I am present.
She's there. She's there. All right. Okay.
Is this beautiful baby?
Sorry, Afika.
I'm fine.
Thank you. Another project, the Judge Mphathi. DJ. Good afternoon. That's your time now, DJ. I do welcome you on behalf of department. Babu Busumuzi. Mute.
Hey, technology. No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good evening to all the Honorable Members, to the Chairperson of SAIDS, and the Honorable and His Excellency the Judge, and all the members of the board, and the leadership, administrative leadership of SAIDS, my colleagues. I am with the Deputy Director General, DDG Khan, who is with me in this meeting. And I would request maybe just a brief overview. We shared the responsibilities. Yesterday was myself. I have asked that today she does just a brief overview Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members, if it is acceptable with the Chairperson.
Yeah, you must steer your ship.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chairperson, DJ Khan, I've got also, I made a mistake. We've got the acting director responsible for entities, and that is Sibusiso Tanyane. Honorable Chairperson, you did not say my face looks nice, so I will close the curtain.
I must close your face. I'm not nice. It's not nice face, but you must not forget that it's not easy to you to come back.
Okay. Missing Sister.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Let me acknowledge Madam Chair and the Honourable Members, the Chairperson of SAVES, Judge Lex Mpati, and the Board Members of SAVES, also the CEO and the Management of SAVES, our DG, Mr. Mkize, and colleagues. Chairperson, I'm just going to do a quick overview of the South African Institute for Drug-Free Sports, SAVES, because part of our responsibility as a department is not only the funding of SAVES as an organization that looks at anti-doping matters, amongst others, but also to be an oversight over the performance of the entity. Can I have the first slide, please, Lulama? The outline of our presentation very quickly, Madam Chair, is just to go through the mandate, vision, mission, strategic goals, the review of the non-financial performance, the review of the financial performance, the audit outcomes, any governance matters, the composition of the council, the oversight activities, and the composition of the executive management, composition of the staff. And then we've also indicated in the slides, Madam Chair, some of the challenges that SAVES has been dealing with. Just quickly, Madam Chair, the mandate of SAVES is to promote the participation in sport free from the use of prohibited substances or methods intended to artificially enhance performance and thereby rendering impermissible doping practices which are contrary to the principles of fair play, medical ethics in the interest of health and well-being of the sportsperson, and to provide any other matters that are related to that. Next slide. The vision and mission are very clear, Madam Chair. Their vision is to be the custodian of anti-doping matters and ethics in sport, and to actively collaborate with the EE, with our African sports colleagues in promoting clean sport. The mission of SAVES, as defined by the South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport Act No. 14 of 1998, as amended in 2005, is to promote the participation in sport free from the use of prohibited substances or methods intended to artificially enhance performance. Next slide. These are the strategic goals. There are five of them, Madam Chair. I'm not going to read it line by line, but just at a high level, just to indicate to manage financial administration with regard to the applicable legislation and to maintain effective operational infrastructure to ensure that they comply with international standards, and then to implement the national test distribution plan that is informed by the national doping risk assessment. And then also an investigation structure that supports the distribution plan, and then to adhere to the SA anti-doping rules and to the World Anti-Doping Code, which all the countries have to sign with the World Anti-Doping Agency, and to provide anti-doping education to differentiated target audiences, and then also to develop anti-doping research topics and themes that will inform the anti-doping education and testing plans, and to actively participate and contribute to the international anti-doping policy development and capacity improvement. And In addition, Madam Chair is to collaborate around common anti-doping themes with international and national partners. With regard to the review of the three-year performance, Madam Chair, we don't have the stats for 2017 and 2018, but I'm sure that the colleagues from SAIDS will be able to provide that. But in terms of the achievement in 2018 and 2019, they achieved 50% of what they planned to deliver on, and they did not achieve 44% in 2019-2020. Was 60% achieved and not achieved 40%. Next slide. The financial performance, Madam Chair, you can see it's over 3 years, the income and expenditure trends are articulated in the slide. I'm not going to read word for word, but just to indicate their sources of income. They do get an income from government grant. Then there are other sources of income as well that they receive. And then their expenditure is also indicated there, but just to indicate in the last financial year, the income was 33 million, and of which 28 million comes from the grant of government, and they get 4.8 million from other sources. The expenditure, the income was 33 million, the expenditure was 31 million. They have a surplus of 1.9 million. The three-year statement of financial position, Madam Chair, you can see they have indicated what the current assets have been over the last 3 years. And you see it has been 4.6 in 2017-18, 7.4 in 2018-19, and 6.1 in 2019-20. The total assets, and then if that's the current assets, then they have non-current assets. As indicated, 866, 811, and 905 in the last, in 2019-2020. The liabilities, Madam Chair, in 2017-18 is 8.17, in 2018-19 was 7.9, and in 2019-20 was 4.819. So the net asset value, you can see, Madam Chair, was a deficit and of 2.6 in 2017-2018, and then a healthy net value, net asset value of 2.69, and in 2019-2020 it's 2.211. The analysis of cash and cash equivalents, Madam Chair. We've got here the totals over 3 years. I'm focusing, if you look at the last financial year, it's 4.3. If you have to add trade and other receivables, it's 1.126. Their current liabilities was 4.819. Their current commitments, 1.559. And they have a net, not a surplus, a deficit of 8.67. Okay, the audit outcomes over the last 3 years, Madam Chair, is in 2017-18, it was unqualified. In 2018-19, it was also unqualified. In 2019-20, it was unqualified with some findings. The composition of the board, Madam Chair, the board is composed of non-executive directors appointed by the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture according to the SAIDS Act of 1997 as amended. The term of the board was appointed in 2017 and their term ends in 2022. Here, Madam Chair, is the list of the board members. I will not read them name by name, but just to indicate that you will notice that there is a wide spread of expertise in terms of legal, governance, medical. There's from the sports background, public health, pharmacology. There's also an athlete, a retired athlete. So that is the spread of expertise we have. So they could go back, Lulama. And then in terms of the gender, Madam Chair, you can see there's a good spread of male and female. I think there's three females in this board of within the board, and there's also a demographics in terms of race that's articulated here as well, in terms of Indian, coloured, white, Black African. Okay, next slide. The oversight activities, the number of board members, there are 10 board members. They've had, in the last year, they've had 4 meetings, and you can see it's been consistent throughout those last three years under review. The number of board committee meetings, we have not had access to that information. The attendance rate of board meetings in the last 2 years, in 2018-19, 90% of board members attended meetings, and in 2019-2020, it was 80%. Audit committee members, there were 4 meetings consistently over the last 3 years, 1 per quarter. The composition of the management, Madam Chair, you can see that the CEO, Mr. Kalant, his details are there. You will note that all of the managers are employed on a permanent basis. And then you have Mr. Onke Ngwane, who's the CFO, Ms. Wafika Beg Jassim, the legal manager, Dr. Amanda Clarkson Smithers is the education manager, and Mr. Fatmi Khalad is the general manager. So the composition of staff, they have a total staff complement of 17, of which 10 are female, 7 are male, 6 are Black African, 8 colored, 1 Indian. Next slide. Some of the challenges, Madam Chair, that we've identified with SAIDS and the interventions in places, where there have been challenges with the appeals board. It's been quite ineffective, and I think we've had various communications with SAIDS around that. They've had a chairperson who was almost AWOL, and as a result, it led them to many of the cases that were before the appeals board not being heard on time, which could result then in risk of court cases and athletes and taking SAIDS to court because of the fact that the timelines are not being met and it hinders progress in terms of finalizing cases. The matter has been resolved as the minister has now replaced the appeals board chairperson and one member of the appeals board. The other challenge is the legislation, the outdated Drug Free Sport Act, 14 of 1997, and as amended in 2005, a working group is to be established to address the outdated legislation and legislation that no longer meets the needs of the current national sports regulations. So as we amend the National Sport and Recreation Act, Madam Chair, we will also be looking at how we can strengthen the legislation around the Drug Free Sport Act. And then lack of cooperation by the Department of Basic Education, particularly in terms of access to schools, in order for SAIDS to conduct anti-doping education, as well as the actual testing. The department is addressing the matter as part of the overall engagement with the Department of Basic Education. Madam Chair, this is quite a challenge because you would find that, you know, within the school environment, parents are responsible for their children. They may not give us access to their children in schools or to the learners in schools, rightly so, because parents obviously don't want, access to their children by people they may not trust or may not know. But at the same time, Madam Chair, there is a deliberate attempt by parents for not giving access to SAIDS to the learners because of the fact that children are already being given performance-enhancing substance, which will show up if SAIDS has to do the normal routine testing of young children who are participating in school sport activities. This is quite rampant, especially where the schools, there is a very good culture of school sports activities. You would find that there are young learners who are taking performance-enhancing substances. With that, Madam Chair, I complete the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DGG. I've forgotten to say something, Honourable, the Excellence Judge and Party, that I was supposed to apologise on what happened, because in our programme, the question of today that you were having, the president answering the question, when we planned, it was not there, and we had to shift your times. Let's appreciate that you did come whilst it's very late and disrupted your programs. I've forgotten to make that apology. And then to you now, Honourable, the Excellent Judge and Party.
Thank you, Chair. And understood, the changes are understood. As I've mentioned, the management will be presenting their new performance plan, whatever it is left of it, because I thought the lady that has just spoken was actually giving our performance plan. Madam Chair, the effect, just a few words before I hand over to management. The effect of the lockdown restrictions on sport has affected and continues to affect FADES with regard to meeting its performance targets. As a regulatory agency, however, FADES is still required to deliver its services to sport, especially as athletes prepare to qualify for the Tokyo Olympics and Paralympics. The annual performance plan is the practical implementation of the SAID's strategic plan through the setting of targets that can reasonably be achieved in 2021. The board has reviewed the annual performance plan and approved the indicators as a reflection from the strategic plan. And we believe that SAIDS has sufficient resources to implement the annual performance plan in a post-COVID sports environment. With those few words, Chair, I hand over to management. Khalid.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Chair. I'm just sharing my screen here. If you can see that. Thank you, Judge, for the introduction, and thank you, Honourable Chair, for again extending the invitation to say it. Our presentation will is fairly brief. It will focus on the annual performance plan as requested, and I will touch on the key parts of the performance plan, specifically the areas of the annual performance plan. To draw your attention to the context of this performance plan, you can see there the cover and the graphic, it stays the course, and that kind of words or slogan was intentional. We've had lots of disruptions, things that we could not have anticipated. So this performance plan was drafted with the intent of staying true to our mandate and to our goals and to what the board has set out for us in their strategic plan. So currently, the sports competitions has resumed with some restrictions, And as an independent regulatory authority, we have no control or sway whether sport will resume. It's up to the national federations. And where sports competitions resume, we then deliver the service of testing and anti-doping education. We are focused primarily on out-of-competition testing so that we can ramp up the testing in the lead-up to World Championship events and the Olympics. After the lockdown restrictions were eased, SAIDS resumed our testing and education program with full compliance to COVID protocols. We had to invest in PPE, personal protective equipment. If the committee, honorable members, are familiar with a testing procedure, it's a face-to-face interaction between a sample collection officer and an athlete. So there's different protective procedures or protocols that we have to adhere to within the current environment. So we have to invest and purchase equipment to continue testing in a responsible manner. When we considered our targets in the annual performance plan, we only focused on variables that we were able to influence and control. And what that means is if you look at our 2021 APP versus our 2020, you will not see that big a difference. There's actually no difference in the indicators, mainly in the quantity, in the quantum of the indicators. Because the indicators and the targets assume that lockdown restrictions will eventually ease off and that sport will fully resume in 2021. So we are optimistic in that sense, and we continue working under that assumption, since we can't control the other variables, whether we go into a third wave or whether lockdown restrictions are further made stricter. Other than the COVID restrictions, our 2021 delivery environment is also influenced by changes in our compliance environment. And we are now subject to a revised World Anti-Doping Code, which is referred to as the 2021 World Anti-Doping Code and the UNESCO Convention. And South Africa signs the UNESCO Convention. The South African government signs the UNESCO Convention, and that convention was renewed in 2019. And both these global policies come with more compliance requirement with respect to governance of the agency, testing that we do in sport, anti-doping education services that we deliver to athletes, coaches, and other sports people, and also on the adjudication of cases that we have to prosecute for doping offenses. To date, we are fully compliant with the UNESCO Convention Against Doping in Sport, and this compliance procedure was completed in February 2021. SAIDS is the implementing agency for the South African government on the UNESCO Convention, and we ensure that South Africa remains compliant and an active party to the convention. SAIDS was audited in 2018 by the World Anti-Doping Agency with respect to our compliance with the code. And following that audit, we were declared fully compliant with the World Anti-Doping Code. We hope to maintain our compliance status, and we have in this performance year, the 2021-2022 year, we have allocated additional human resources and budget to ensure we meet and exceed those compliance requirements. Oops, I'm looking at the wrong, I'm looking at this line on my computer. If there are, Anki, if you want to just touch on that last bullet point of the finances with respect to earmarked as per the ENE, if you just want to give a brief comment on that.
Thank you, Khalid, and thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to speak. The funding, we are required to submit every year, twice a year in July and November, what our estimated expenditure would be and how we break that down given the grant that would be afforded to us by National Treasury through the department. And we have done that, and we have submitted it within deadline. We received communication from the department that our grant won't change as per the EME, which aligns with our scenario that we're using to plan for our performance. So our funding is earmarked to achieve those objectives within our APP.
Thanks, Anke. And then with the EPP, these are the core programs, the basic kind of bricks or house that SAIDS is built around, and that we build our programs and deliver our services. And it's five programs, and those are outlined on the screen. And in the APP, the indicators detail how we deliver on within those different programs. With respect to service delivery, as mentioned, we going on the assumption that sport will eventually fully resume, so there's no reduction in testing plan for the performance period. Obviously, in our quarterly reports, where we don't meet the quarterly targets, we do a narrative to explain the context of why the targets are not met or where they are exceeded. With respect to anti-doping education services, are predominantly delivered through virtual platforms, and I have to acknowledge the national federations in South Africa, particularly swimming, athletics, rugby, netball, which other ones are there? There's been quite a few, hockey also. They've been really receptive within the lockdown period to these virtual platforms, and our anti-doping education team in the fourth quarter of our financial year, even though it was lockdown, they were still able to meet the targets that were set before lockdown. And that is largely because the national federations have really embraced the virtual platforms for delivery of these services. With respect to results management, we obviously had to adapt. Generally, we have face-to-face hearings. The way we adapted is to leverage a virtual platform such as Zoom. However, we developed a specific protocol going forward where the athletes have the option. They are asked whether they would like a virtual hearing, to ensure that it's not forced on the athlete and that the athlete's procedural rights are not compromised. Again, with respect to education, we've also developed our own e-learning platform for our internal training with our sample collection personnel and with the tribunal panel members. So previously, say spent a considerable amount of resources in our education budget on our symposium and workshops, and we're hoping we used some of that money that we spent to develop our own e-learning platforms. Further, we collaborate with WADA on a global e-learning platform where South African athletes and coaches can also do training courses with respect to more global matters that they have to be aware of, or information particular to their sport code. With respect to national and international collaboration, in 2019, the portfolio committee members participated in one of our African Union events that the then Minister of Sport hosted in South Africa. It was the African Union Anti-Doping Forum. Those events obviously did not happen in the last year, and we don't foresee it occurring within this financial year or this performance year that we are talking about. So in our performance plan, we have not made any allocations or indicators for national or international travel. However, we continue to use virtual platforms to interact and collaborate with our international and continental counterparts. And we have continued with our collaboration project with Egypt and Ethiopia through Zoom project meetings, and the mentoring continues, and we have specific milestones in these international projects that have to be met over the next year. With any performance plan, it's important that we look at the or acknowledge the emerging risks or risks that could influence how we deliver on our services, the effect of lockdown on sport, what we have not yet able to determine, and what we will probably be able to report to the portfolio committee in 2022. Whether the lockdown has provided an opportunity for those who want to cheat and dope in sport, and whether they have gained any benefit from them, from the lockdown on sport. Our testing program going forward is very aggressive and robust, and we will be looking for trends to see if lockdown provided the opportunity for a cheat. Uncertainty around funding, but that funding has been that uncertainty has been quelled, as Anki mentioned, that the information and directive that we've received from the department with respect to the E&E funding and the funding over the next year is certain. So we are not planning and working with any cuts to the existing allocation. Slowdown and decrease in revenue generated through testing requests. This is a major reduction in revenue for SAIDS. If you look at our previous financial accounts, you will see we generate in excess of 2 million a year, between 2 to 4 million a year, with through international testing generating this revenue. And this revenue is through international competitions in South Africa, international athletes training in South Africa, and also when our African counterparts or international federations ask us to test in different countries and do training. With travel restrictions and with the slowdown in sport, we obviously witnessing a significant decrease in revenue from that revenue stream, and we will have to adjust our expenditure to take that into account. Other emerging risks is exposure for athletes and sample collection during doping control procedures to COVID, to the COVID virus. Although we have strict PPE requirements, which we have integrated into our procedures and standards for testing, those risks are always there. In addition, we have now, to further reduce our risk, we have piloted a paperless system in 2021. We are 2021 this year. This year, it started in February. Where we will further be able to reduce hand-to-hand or contact between the athlete and the sample collection officer during the testing procedure. And again, it's just to further reduce our risk of spreading the virus. Chair, I thank you for inviting us and for giving us this opportunity to share with the Portfolio Committee our annual performance plan. That was a general overview. You have received the detailed APP that was tabled together with DSAC's annual performance plan and annual report. As an entity, our annual performance plan is integrated into the department. Chair, we welcome questions at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm suspecting now, Your Excellency Judge, we are giving to me now to chair this part. You have done with...
Yes. Definitely, okay. Chair.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for the presentation. Honorable members, That's why we decided that we must take a good serve when we read your presentation to us, then forwarding. We've seen that we cannot not to call you to come, but we're not expecting to call you at this time of the evening. Honorable members, I'm saying Honorable Zondi.
Dennis Joseph, chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable Zondi, Honorable Dennis, Honorable Malinkosi, Honorable Malomane, in that order. Yes, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. A few questions, Honorable Chair. Good evening. Honorable members and the board and the management. Chair, welcome the report. Firstly, that is encouraging. The first question, Chair, is with regard to the income. The department indicated that there is grant funding and other income. I just wish to know, where else are you generating your revenue and how, except the grant funding? The second one, Chair, is with regard to current assets. I see the drop in the, in fact, the fluctuation of the current assets. In the last 3 years, the 4 million, 7 million, and the previous one is 6. What is the reason for that fluctuation instead of growing? Or what are the reasons for the current assets, that fluctuation? The next one is with regard to the audit outcome, unqualified with findings. I just wish to know which are those findings, and what are they doing to deal with those funding raised by the auditor general. And maybe another question still on the audit. The unqualified for the three previous financial year, is their target, because the other three did not have any findings, and slightly the previous year has findings instead of clean audit. Please clarify that. Chair, with regard to the board, the board itself, I won't say much, though there are 3 females and 7 males, but it is maybe the DG explained yesterday how they arrive at this on another board. Maybe it's the same with regard to the capacity and the not with the capacity, with the applicants, rather than capacity, the applicants, that there were few females. I just wish to know if it is the case on this board. The last one, Chair, is with regard to the indicators. The indicators in the APP are drawn from your strategic plan 2020 to 25. I just wish to know, are you happy with your performance so far? Are you on track, given that you are in the second year of your 5-year strategic plan? Che, ngizomalapho kwamanje. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Zondi, Honorable Dennis.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I would just like to express my thanks to the presentations and the Honorable Judge Party, and as well as the CEO and the CFO. Chairperson, our Malaysian government, the CFO and the CEO are very key people to make good governance work. I would like to acknowledge the turnaround in the financial part with even I had my colleague now questioned certain financial experiences under unqualified audits, but there is signs of improvement with surpluses that have shown a positive picture in financial position. So that is good. Chairperson, my question is, the first one is, with the Olympics, I heard the Olympics coming up, do the doping increase with international events? And then also, I heard that there will be no international visits, but my question will still be, will the team go to Tokyo, or is there enough people on the northern side of the atmosphere to do that work? Chairperson, I'm not sure who will respond to the questions, but I've listed some under the board and some under the department's APPs. With the emerging risk, with slide number 6, there was a question, a point about uncertainty around the funding. My question is, if we exclude the work of the international income, will there be a bigger risk in the uncertainty around the funding, or will it reduce the risk around the funding? The question on page 4 with the APP strategic overview 1.1 under the performance development environment. I noted that the honourable chair, honourable judge Mapiti, as in his foreword, refers to a strategic plan from the year 2021 to 2026, which seems to be more correct. And I noted that in the department's overview, strategic plan, it refers to 2020 to 2025. So there's a difference there in the times of the years. On page 4, still paragraph 2, I would like to ask if SAIDS grant has not been increased for the past 2 years. And I noted in that paragraph, how do they manage and what adjustments are they making to cope with the grants, not receiving grants? And page 4, a chairperson, under 1.1 performance and delivery environment, under organization environment, paragraph 3, there is a point about appointment of management and staff. So my question here is just with reference to advertisements, so advertising, what methods are they following or processes? Do they use newspapers or electronic advertisement? And where can people see if there are opportunities in the department? And I also like to know, what is the turnover in the department? Is it a very stable staff rate, or is there a turnover that is creating a lot of advertisement and appointments? On page 5, revisions of the legislative mandates. What are some of the most important consequences for non-compliance according to the new UNESCO Convention against Doping in Sport, as was raised by Khalid? And then on page 6, under the administration, or rather, do you make allowance for staff increases despite the difficult financial situations? And if so, what is the percentage of allowances that you allow for increases of for staff salaries in the administration? On page 6, also the second paragraph, there I want to ask the question, what was the issue with the Bloemfontein,
the laboratory.
Laboratory relating to the full accreditation and the full operations. I saw in the report there something about Bloemfontein, but I couldn't fully understand there what was going on. On page 8, Chairperson, Program 1, 4.1.2, performance status, I would like to know I find that new indicator strange, the submit annual budget to the board for review and approval. Now, since 2017-18 financial year, it's there, but for me, it is a normal common sense thing that you have to submit an annual report or budget to the board. So I'm not sure why is it a new indicator, why was it initially a new indicator. And then on page 13, 4.2.3, program 2, the issue about tips of and intelligence information. I see there's an X, which means there seems to be no targets, but I just want to know how relevant is tips of in your environment, in your working environment. How important is that? Page 14, 4.3.2, program 3, also new indicators since 2017 till 2023-24. It refers to the tribunals, and I'm glad the DG or DDG have raised that issue. My question is, on that slide, what is the cause of the delay? Or because it's been coming on almost for 7 years now, it's going to go to 7 years if it goes to 2023-24, and where in the process is the promulgated legislation? And what can the committee
Honorable Dennis, try to summarize. We are on number 14 now.
Yeah, thanks. I've got two more, Chairperson.
Okay.
The question just about the anti-doping education on page 16, 4.4.1, program 4, strategic objective. The question is on the education and awareness. What are your target markets? And which sports codes are the biggest culprits in the anti-doping? I note you refer to athletics, but maybe there's other sports. And then a question on impact on COVID on your own organization, your entity. I'd like to know what has happened in the last year. How were you affected? And then in closing, Chairperson, last question on, I think it's to Onka, is his name, General, good governance, financial. Under good governance, the question on financial management, are there any outstanding matters or disputes with the AG? And my previous member have asked a few questions there, so I would like just to know what lessons have you learned in the last annual report that you can take forward. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chairperson.
Honourable members, we are no longer implementing the 3-minute rule, but you must try to be reasonable. I've seen it in the first honorable member ask about, it was 9 questions. Honorable Denise, it's 17 questions. So we must be fair to other members, because I know you're still going to want to do follow-ups. We usually said we are giving 3 minutes, but because we need to scrutinize the presentation, but don't exaggerate, honorable members. But it's good. It shows that honorable members, they do have passionate about whatever is coming to their offices and to the committee. Honorable Masimosi.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I should just show face a little bit before I turn it off again. Good evening to everyone important. Can I close this one now? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. You do keep the rules. Others, they don't. Thank you, Honorable Martinguish.
Sure. As the phase is pushing drug-free sport, What is SAY's position in Caster Semenya's accusations of International Association of Athletics Federation of using her body as a human guinea pig by forcing her to take medication to control her testosterone levels in her body? Still, on Caster Semenya's loss in the appeal against the World Athletics, what is SAY's action plans, if any, pertaining that decision? The third question I have is, are there any new racial accusations in sample collection during doping control processes reported? If not, what measures do you have in place to hinder such occurrences? If positive, what have you done in making sure that such actions don't repeat themselves? Do you have these doping control processes in places where the poorest live? If not, why not? We'll stop there, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mashinkosi, Honorable Malomani.
Thank you, Chair. Let me greet evening to everyone present. Chair, my question, it was also about the issue of the support that Caster Semenya getting from SAIT, but because Honorable Madlingos has also asked, I think maybe it would be better to leave it like that so that we can hear what is their side on the issue of character. The other issue is that I just want to know the impact, because they're saying if the laboratory is going to be closed, it's not fully functioning, they have to take their test internationally, and then this it will be costing us. Is there any other ways here in South Africa that they can do the test without taking them to internationally? The other thing, I just want to speak on the issue of gender. Yes, it's 7-3. I think the department next time need to make sure that they even appoint more women than males. So I just want to also ask that, what is the impact of COVID-19 towards the testing process of sports doping? Are athletes still being tested? How has the testing been given during this COVID-19 situations regarding the safety of protocols? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malomane. I don't see any other hand. Let me take this opportunity also to thank SAIT to come and presenting what it has just presented. I don't have so much questions because I don't want to repeat what other members asked. I wanted to talk to our department. I'm suspecting it's going to be I don't know how many years. Seven years now that we've been having this problem with basic education. So really, these MOUs since inception that you sign with a basic education, it's haunting us as this committee. In whatever presentation that we are having, we just experience these challenges of basic education. This is not the first time hearing this problem of the legislation. And maybe we're emphasizing that each department, as we have reported in past meetings, that you are going to meet, we are meeting with the basic education, it must be fast track, because it's where it's happening, this thing of doping of kids at school. And now these parents won't allow that there must be a random testing in schools. It doesn't assist. So it's one of the things that when you meet again, they must fast track this thing of this legislation. How has it been functioning the laboratory during this lockdown? We were about to go there, but due to time frames, we detained as last parliament. But honourable members, as this new parliament, the last committee did visit the office of SAIDS. I'm suspecting, hoping that come next year, maybe the COVID-19 will be not like this, let alone that we are still expecting the third wave, which we don't want that third wave to come. In behalf of committee, I will ask that as a committee, we must put to our program to visit their offices. They are used to be based here in Cape Town. I don't know whether you stay here. Okay, thank you so much for the presentation. I cannot repeat other things that I wanted to ask Mr. Zondi and Denise. They've chow a lot for the committee, not for themselves. Thank you so much. Can we have responses?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the honourable members for the questions and for the active engagement. Chair, we're going to cluster the questions so that it's an efficient way of answering. And if we do miss any information, please remind us at the end. I'm going to ask the CFO, Anke, to address the questions that's related to finances and the Auditor General and those matters. Okay.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to speak once again. To our first response to Honourable Zondi's questions, his first question is what are the sources of income we have
Is it Onke? Who's
that? Is, yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Hello, Chair.
Okay.
Pardon?
No. Yes.
Okay. The honourable question was, what other sources of income do we have other than the grant funding we see from the department? And our answer to that is, we have ad hoc funding, which is a funding we apply for, in the form of a grant from the National Lottery, and we also generate income through our doping control sales. That's when we test on behalf of entities, and especially international federations, they pay us for the service to test on their behalf. The second question was, what was the cause of the fluctuation in current assets? A majority of the balance that sits in current assets is our cash resources. About 4 years ago, we were in a deficit situation, and the entity put in budgetary controls and austerity measures in order to control our costs. And that led to cost savings and a wiser way or a more intelligent way of preserving our cash resources, which is why there's a huge increase from 2018 to 2019. And you will see between 2019 and 2020, it's pretty much similar because we have kept those measures in place. In terms of the outcomes, he asked what were the findings, especially in the 2019-20 year. So another member asked, the findings were mainly around supply chain management and mainly around our tender process. The tender process was followed correctly. The matter was that AG was not entirely satisfied with the way the different committees in the tender processes were constructed. They said they weren't constructed in compliance with our supply chain management policy. What the entity has done to address those findings is, first, we investigated the irregular expenditure around that and where the shortfall is. And we've taken that to our audit committee and to our board. And the recommendation there was that we enlist the services of our internal auditors to audit our SEM policy and to audit our SEM processes and see where we shortfall, and then we can fix those areas. And that is what we are currently busy with. We have taken the regular expenditure arising from those tenders to the ARC and to the board, so they are aware of it. And where they needed to either recommend condonation through Treasury or to write off, we've requested that permission from them. An unquantified audit opinion means that there are no issues. What you have presented in your financial statement is a reflection of what has happened in the entity during the year. And a clean audit will always be our goal, because the intention is for us to do things the right way. And doing things the right way will result in a clean audit. I will now move on to Honorable Dodo's questions. His first questions were uncertainty around funding and what not having business with international federations due to COVID, how it has affected the entity. Well, our biggest source of income is the grant, and the income from the Open Doctor is also a huge factor to us. But if we don't test for the entities, then we don't have the cost to test for the entity. So if we don't generate the income, then we don't incur the cost. But what we have done is, we put budgetary controls in place and austerity measures. Our austerity measures were to cut down on testing, but we don't compromise our mandate. We meet the requirements of our mandate on how many tests we're required to perform. We've achieved efficiencies in the couriering of our samples to our lab, in that we courier samples in batches. Thus, we save on the cost of courier. We haven't had salary increases, but we do have what is called a cost of living adjustment. What that does is it will put our employees in the same position as they were in the previous year, in that they can afford the same slice of bread today that they did yesterday. We have decreased our overseas travel. What has saved us a lot in terms of our funding is the National Lotteries grant that we applied for. That is the main funding for our education department. Their projects and their workshops and their initiatives are mainly funded through Lotto. Unfortunately, the grant that we receive from Treasury is not sufficient. So the lottery grant has helped us quite a lot. In terms of the budget submission being a new indicator on the APP, that process of submitting the budget to the board is something that is done on a yearly basis, and we have done that as part of our process. It's just that it was introduced to our APP into our APP as a measurable target in the year 2018. It's a process that's always been done, but it only started being measured in 2018. And to answer the Honorable's last question, there are no outstanding issues with the ATSA. As we stand here now, we're just waiting for them to start the current year's audit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Onke. Chair, I will ask the General Manager to address the questions with respect to testing and intelligence step-ups.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for providing the opportunity to respond. With regard to the Honourable Member's first question with regard to tip-off and intelligence, this plays an extremely important part in our testing program, because what it does, it narrows where we can test and who we can test even further. We have a specialist investigations department, so whenever we get, and we also have a database where we input all the information into, so that once we get all the information and there's any links between the various type of information that we get, we can target specific athletes and specific persons to test. And this, we've been very successful in this through our type of information and the investigations information that we've received. So once we get it, we do an analysis, we see what the value is of that particular tip-off. Is it valid or is it not valid? Is it just someone sending information because he or she is jealous because someone may be beating him or her or his or her son? So we look at that information, evaluate it, and at the end of it, we come out with a conclusion and determine whether to proceed with testing or not. And in terms of that, we've been very successful in targeting specific who we want to test and where we want to test because of the investigations and the type of information that we received. In terms of the second question that we received from the honorable member is with regard to the impact of testing during COVID-19. Yes, COVID-19 has definitely impacted testing. To give you an, we suspended testing around about the 15th of March 2020, and we resumed testing through the whole lockdown. We did not conduct any testing. We resumed testing on about the 15th or the 16th of December when the restrictions were lifted. And then again, once the second wave came into effect, we had to suspend testing again, and we started testing after the upliftment of that particular lockdown on the 8th of February. So to give you an idea of the impact that it's had, in a normal year, we would normally conduct 1,600 tests. During 2019-2020 financial year, we conducted 208 tests, so about 1/8 of the tests that we would normally conduct. However, since the 8th of March, since the 8th of February, once things started lifting, we continued testing as per normal. So as I can happily report that as from the 1st of April in our new financial year up to this particular point, which is about 5-6 weeks later, we have conducted about 170 doping controls, which is on par with what we've conducted in the whole year of 2019-2020. So we definitely, if things go according to plan and COVID remains on a low level during 2020-2021, we will definitely reach our target for 2021-2022. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Fahmi. And I'll address the remaining questions. There was a question on the method of advertising for job vacancies and whether what's the rate of turnover. The full-time staff complement at SAGE is 17. We have a very, very low turnover. This week we're celebrating 3 employees' 10-year anniversary. So SAGE has been a preferred place to be employed. We invest a lot in employee training and employer welfare. So we have not had a lot of vacancies for jobs. We have had positions that we've leveraged our relationship with the CETAs, and we've used the interns a lot. One of our full-time employees currently used to be an intern with SRSA 4 years ago. So we have used the intern programs from the different universities and CETAs to address some of our capacity issues, but we have not had a lot of vacancies, full-time vacancies. Where we do have vacancies, we advertise in both electronic media, paper, and on various job websites and job posting, also on the SAGE website. The question on consequences for non-compliance to the UNESCO Convention, those compliances are fairly drastic to the country as a whole rather than just an agency like SAGE. And I will cite the example of countries like Russia, Romania, Brazil, that have been sanctioned and prevented from either bidding to host international sports events in their country, and also in the case of Russia, where they've been banned from the Olympics and various other world championships. And those, all those consequences were a direct result for non-compliance with the UNESCO Convention Against Doping in Sport. With respect to Honorable Member Dennis Joseph's question on the Bloemfontein Laboratory, my apologies on that. Those information was historical. And as you may have picked up, that the chair is quite familiar and other members of the committee are quite familiar with issues around Bloemfontein Laboratory. Bloemfontein Laboratory is an independent entity from SAIDS. They're a service provider in terms of analysis. They are an institute or an entity that resides in part of the University of Free State. And yes, they lost their global accreditation in 2016 or 2017, if I recall. They have regained that, and they are on track to retain it, and they have just received an injection in March from the department, from DSAC, of 2 million to support their operations as they were severely affected by the lockdown in sport. Again, it's an independent entity, and I would rather request the honorable member to direct the questions to the Bloemfontein Laboratory Management when they do present or when they do meet with the committee, as they have historically met with the committee. The target market for anti-doping education has always first been athletes, the coaches, the entourage or personnel that works with athletes, like physios, sports medical doctors. But a large part of the anti-doping education in the last couple of years at the school level specifically has been parents, school governing bodies, and learners at the school. Learners specifically that are involved in sport, and the sport particularly that we focused our energy on is rugby and track and field on the school level. With respect to the honorable, there were two members that asked questions with respect to Caster Semenya's case. The Caster Semenya case has nothing to do with SAIDS. It is not an anti-doping or a doping issue. It is a matter between World Athletics, the athlete, and Athletic South Africa as the member federation of World Athletics. So say there's no position, official position on the case, as it doesn't form part of our business, core business or policy directives. We obviously have personal positions on that, but not a formal policy position from SAIDS. With respect to the question of has there ever been racial accusations of sample collection or against sample collection officers, in my history and together with Fahmi, the general manager who has been doing this work for the past 21 years, we have not had a documented accusation or incident or racial incident. So we can't really attest or report on that matter. However, to give some assurance to that process, the doping control process complies with an international standard. It's never one person. There's at least two or three people. The process requires witnessing and also a different person to record and fill in the information. So there are, it's not just one person. So if there is a situation, there won't just be a he says, she says type of scenario. With respect to doping control processes or doping control testing happening outside of urban areas, in rural or lesser resourced areas, as mentioned in the annual performance plan in terms of variables or matters that we have control over and those that we don't, that we do not have control over, SAIDS is a regulatory authority. We regulate doping and cheating in sport. So we test where sport happens. So if football plays in the urban areas or cricket is only in the urban areas, that's where our services need to deliver. However, anti-doping education services are delivered across the country, and our education manager in her reports does do a geographic outline of where education, anti-doping education services are delivered around the country in both urban, rural, and the different provinces. And one of our goals, objectives, and values of SAIDS is to deliver our anti-doping education services across the country in every province. We've talked about the lab, and then there was one question, the impact of COVID on SAIDS, and I assume that, the question was, other than what the technical procedures or policies that we've implemented, yes, SAIDS has been touched by the virus. The virus has touched our board, it has touched our staff, it has touched our doping control officers and our tribunal panel members. We've had two doping control officers that have succumbed to the environment, to the virus, and we've had one tribunal panel member who has succumbed to the virus. We are grateful and fortunate that all the other people involved in SAIDS, from the board to the staff, have recuperated from being infected by the virus. Chair, I trust and I hope I've addressed all the questions of the board, but there's no other comments from Fahmi or Onke. I think that's our attempt at addressing the questions that were directed at us.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Felice. I'm trying to check. I was also writing, but members, if you think that you still want to do follow-ups, or you are feeling that your question is not yet answered, this is the time. I'm seeing the hand of Honorable Madlingozi. That's the only hand that I'm seeing.
Honorable Madlingozi. One more?
I'm going to give it to you, DJ. You'll assist. Yes, Honorable Madlingozi.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the explanation. Still, I would believe that SAIDS' main response is to look at the drug-free spot, and I believe that what these other guys want to infuse in the Casper's blood system is a drug. And the SAIDS, I think it would be proper for SAIDS to also to have a position as to what they think about not personal but as an organization. So I think that it's not very I wouldn't think that it is very positive for SAIDS to say they don't have anything to say about that. First of all, SAIDS is a South African organization that is pushing for drug-free. All right. Your explanation got lost in my English interpretation. What do you mean that you had to audit yourselves after outside responses? You know, can you just let me know about that? But maybe I got lost in that. Another one is offer the testing programs that you said you have. I want to find out what specifics are you looking at from these specific athletics, and so far which sporting codes are you talking about that are mostly affected by these doping systems? And I heard you talking about SAIDS had ways and means of dealing with these doping control processes, but you deal looking at it, are you saying that these doping control processes are for the elite athletics or what? So can you make it clear that it is not for the people on the ground, but it is for the elite? Thank you.
Before I'm giving back to you, state leadership, DG, maybe let me give you. I was thinking that I'll be giving you at the end, but as question are being emerged, let me give you a chance, DG. Thank you.
No. Maybe Chairperson, thanks. No intention to disrupt your directing of the program.
No problem.
I think there was a question that was asked directly to the department about the appointment of the board. Honorable Nondaba is correct. It follows exactly the same. And this board currently, who has been doing a great job, will in fact be having the expiry on the near 2022, because it's a 5 year. They were appointed in 2017, if I'm correct. So then there will be advert, and maybe that will be then the opportunity to try again and ensure that there is a balance in terms of gender representativity. On the issue of the partnership with basic education, we take what Honorable Chairperson have said in this regard, so that indeed if we nip this in the bud and our children are not forced to take doping as a part of their lifestyle to perform at higher level, we do need to deal with this at the level of school. But sometimes learners are pushed to that level because either schools or teachers want high performance, or even parents want a great success for their children, but then they destroy the future of the children if they teach them how to dope or to cheat the system. So we believe that working together with basic education, we should then be able to really begin to have a very strong campaign against doping, but also an awareness campaign and program that will assist the states to have less of these cases and have also less of embarrassment for a nation that would send its elite athlete and on to be disqualified at a later stage, even maybe after winning a gold medal. So we will, Honorable Chairperson, attend to that matter as part of our bilaterals and partnership with Department of Basic Education. And I think those are the issues that I thought we can be able to intervene at this stage. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, DG. Let me take it back to the presenters to take the follow-up questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, if you want to address the audit questions.
Honorable Martin, was this follow-up question on auditing ourselves again? The AGSA is external. They come in and audit what has happened already and identify what they feel is wrong and what they feel is not adequate. What internal audit is they are ongoing throughout the financial year, and they are here to assist with process improvement, in that they will identify where the entity falls short and recommend ways to improve those shortcomings or to fix them, so that when AGSA comes again to audit, we do not have repeat findings. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Anke. Chair, the comment on the Caster Semenya position is noted, and I will table the honourable members' comment at the board meeting, and the board can take a decision on whether we should formulate a policy position on the Semenya. With respect to testing, the doping control test, as mentioned with the by the general manager. We do between 1,600 and 2,000 tests per annum. One test costs in the region of 4,500 rand, so we can't afford to test at every level of sports or every match that's played or every track and field or athletic event that happens. Sport is categorized in terms of what we refer to as doping risk profile. So you get a high, medium, and low risk sport with respect to the doping risk, and that's how we allocate our resource testing resources. So yes, a club football match will not be subjected to testing, but a PSL match or a Bafana match will be subjected to testing. So it's not about rural versus urban, but about the level of sports competition where testing resources are allocated. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, honorable members. I'm taking this opportunity to thank the leadership of SARS to come at this time in the evening. Surely they were having their own things during the day, but they've respected the committee when we've done changes. As this parliament also, we did have a motion on Caster's Mania's issue. We know even international countries, they are supporting and the campaign of Caster's Mania. And as we are saying, Honorable Marlingos felt that you must add your voices, but not as your one of your mandate, as you have said. But I'm very happy that as this parliament, through this committee, we didn't debate once, we didn't put motion once. So I'm happy that international countries are doing that, and maybe as you are saying that you don't know about your good self as individuals because you have got a mandate and you know your mandate, and if something is out of your mandate, that's how you respond. But I do appreciate that in your mandate, surely everything was seen happening. And honorable members, there's somebody call in this collective, somebody that he impressed some of us when he did come here in this state. We may reflect one other time, if we do have the time, that it states where it was, especially on this question of invoices. It did improve. Surely he is not working alone, he's working with the collective. Please do improve in whatever gaps that members are seeing, that you still have gaps. But as Honorable Denise was saying, that he is impressed, and surely even other members, they are seeing that you are getting there. By those words, I'll say that Honorable, your excellent judge, I don't know, I've done my closing remarks. I want that you must say something, and then I will say that the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair. Really, there's nothing more for me to say except to thank you again for giving us the opportunity
to come in and present our performance plan.
I can't hear, Chairperson.
Hey, I'm struggling.
Honorable Judge, unmute.
Oh.
Can you hear me now?
The other one can't.
I've come closer to the screen now. Can you hear me? Still not.
A little bit better, but very soft.
Yeah, your voice. A little bit, but you are very soft. I don't know what
maybe
is happening.
Maybe I was too close to the screen. And now?
Yeah, it's better.
Is it better? Is it better?
Honor Dennis.
Better now?
I can hear, but it's still soft, but we can hear now, but thank you, Chair. No, it's still soft.
Okay. I was saying I wasn't going to say anything more other than to confirm our thanks for you to invite us to come and present our performance plan. So all we can say, this late stage of the night, thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
That's how we earn our salaries. COVID-19 made this happen. A day, almost we can have 3 to 4 meetings out of the parliamentary work and organizational work. Thank you so much also. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to everybody. To the judge.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members.
Thank you.
Judge and the board.
Thank you, and
thank
goodbye.
You.
Good evening,
bye.
Colleagues.
Nice evening. Bye.
Bye, Gigi.
Bye.